I shall take any retaliation. Bhitam, because he is afraid. Brahmatanum, having assumed the form of a Brahmana. Brahmachari, Ripum, even though he is my enemy. Translation. Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a Brahman to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a Brahman, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. Purport. If Lord Vishnu, as he is, had come to Bali Maharaj and asked him to do something, Bali Maharaj certainly would not have refused his request. But to enjoy a little humor between himself and his devotee, the Lord covered himself as a Brahman Brahmachari and thus came to Bali Maharaj to beg for only 3 feet of land. Text number 13. Esha va uttama shloko najiya satayad yasha hatva maina mare yudhe saita nihato maya. If this Brahman really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. Purport. Bali Maharaj's statement that Vishnu would lie down having been killed is not the direct meaning, for Vishnu cannot be killed by anyone. Lord Vishnu can kill everyone, but he cannot be killed. Thus the real meaning of the words lie down is that Lord Vishnu would reside within the core of Bali Maharaj's heart. Lord Vishnu is defeated by a devotee through devotional service. Otherwise, no one can defeat Lord Vishnu. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again says, although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a Brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a Brahman, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. If this Brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never give up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. So, so Bali Maharaj here is showing how sincere and how surrendered he is. He is known for giving charity to Brahmins. So, in the fifth canto, we see there Sukadeva Goswami telling Maharaj Parikshit that Lord Vishnu, he took that form because he wanted to help Lord Indra. Lord Indra and the demigods have lost their kingdom. Bali Maharaj is the king of the demons, and now he has gained the whole world because of his victory over the demigods. So he is saying that I'm going to take this form of a Brahmin because Bali Maharaj is very very generous to Brahmins, and therefore he took this form of a Brahmin boy. What I would like to speak about is a little bit about Bali Maharaj's surrender and giving up everything he has. And in this world we see how when you give what you have, whatever you had is lessened. So we don't want to lessen what we have, we want to increase what we have. Bali Maharaj is giving, what did he get back in return? So in spiritual life, in religious circles, it is said that whatever you give, you will get back so many more times in return. And we see that a lot here in Bali Maharaj. It is the ninth of the different processes one can follow in devotional activities, in devotional service. There are nine processes that one can follow, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. And the last one is Atma Nivedanam, which Bali Maharaj is showing us here by his surrender, complete surrender. So it's amazing how sometimes Krishna does like this, where he's taking a position of a Brahmin boy here. And it is described here that he assumed a form because he wanted to, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, just for a little humor between himself and his devotee. So it is said by Bali Maharaj's statement that Vishnu would lie down having been killed is not the direct meaning, because Bali Maharaj is saying that out of fear Lord Vishnu has taken this form, he has covered himself in this garb of a Brahmin out of fear. And then he said, if this Brahmin really is Lord Vishnu, he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. So we know that, we have heard it many times, that if Lord Vishnu, Krishna cannot be killed. And if Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can protect him. So what is that? What is the Sanskrit for that? Rake Krishna Mari Ke, Mari Krishna Rake Ke. If Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can protect him. And if Krishna wants to protect someone, no one can kill him. But Lord Vishnu cannot be killed. He is the Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes. He can kill everyone, and he actually does at the time of destruction. In the form of Lord Shiva, he destroys everything. So he cannot be killed. Yesterday we heard from Nagaraj Prabhu how we have no other shelter. If we are controlled, the Supreme Lord, he controls everyone. And if we try to go against him, at the end we would have to bow down. So it is described that one should bow down voluntarily to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise you would be forced to bow down at the time of death. So everyone in this world is looking for happiness and sense gratification and how to live peacefully and so forth. But this process of surrender actually brings one the real peace that one is looking for. I'm gonna read a few parts of some purports. Srila Prabhupada mentioned this, and there is a little more information in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This one here is from the first canto, 12th chapter, 25th verse purport, where it is mentioned, Bali Maharaj is a great authority in devotional service because he sacrificed everything to please the Lord and relinquished the connection of his so-called spiritual master who obstructed him on the path of risking everything for the service of the Lord. It is described also that Prahlad Maharaj, he rejected his father. And in one place I just saw Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Bharat Maharaj rejected his mother. I haven't seen any more reference to it, but Janani Pitana Sasyat Janana Sasyat. So these are, that verse is describing how one should not become a mother, a father, a guru, a king, unless he can save his dependents. And Shukracharya here has lost that position because he can't really save his disciple by telling him not to worship Vishnu. So his disciple, Vali Maharaj, is actually very, very much more intelligent in rejecting his guru because it is best for his spiritual welfare. And his guru is telling him not to worship Lord Vishnu. And the same with Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he tried to kill his son because his son, Prahlad Maharaj, a five-year-old boy, is so much involved and absorbed in worshipping the Lord. And his father wanted to kill him, wanted to prevent him. Don't you see that I am the God, I am the possessor of so many things in this world, I am the controller, worship me. And of course Prahlad Maharaj continued to worship Lord Vishnu. Bali Maharaj was determined to give up everything for the satisfaction of the Lord, and he did not care for any obstruction whatsoever. He is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, another authority in the devotional service of the Lord. In the 18th verse of the 7th chapter of Canto 2, 7, 18, Bali Maharaj, by gaining the transcendental favor of the Lord in exchange for his great material sacrifice, was able to have a place in Vaikuntha Loka with equal or greater facilities of eternal enjoyment. Therefore, he was not at all a loser by sacrificing the kingdom of heaven, which he had possessed by his material strength. In other words, when the Lord snatches away one's hard-earned material possessions and favors one with his personal transcendental service for eternal life, such taking away by the Lord should be considered a special favor upon such a pure devotee. So Bali Maharaj is, what is he losing? He's losing the material opulence. But what is he gaining? What did he gain as a result of that? He offered his head as a third step. And when he was sent, he was pushed down to Sutala Loka in the subterranean heavenly planets. Subterranean heavenly planets are below the earth. There are seven planets, beginning with Atal, and Vital, and Sutal, Talatal, Mahatal, so forth. So the third one is Sutal, and that's where Bali Maharaj is. And the benediction he asked for when he was asked by Vamandev to ask for some benediction, he asked for, "My dear Lord, please be my doorkeeper so I can constantly see you and I can constantly worship you." And later on we'll see how Bali Maharaj was a little taken aback by Indra. Indra had the chance also to ask the Supreme Lord, and he asked for heavenly kingdom. So there was a little detail there, a little difference in the type of things we can ask for. So in this regard of taking away, Srila Prabhupada himself described how when his business was burglarized, for a moment he was a little surprised, and then afterwards he started to smile in the midst of the miserable situation. He had the pharmaceutical business, and he heard that it was burglarized, and then he became very happy afterwards, remembering a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, "Yasyaham anugranami harishe taddanam shanai." That when the Lord wants to favor someone, especially favoring someone, then he takes away all his material opulences. And the poor fellow, Srila Prabhupada said, the poor fellow have no one else to turn to, his family members. When you have nothing, then everyone forsake you. Nobody comes close. They stay away from you. So the poor fellow have no one to take support from. Then he finally surrenders unto me, Krishna said. So Srila Prabhupada was remembering that verse and then he became peaceful, that this is probably what's happening to me. So we don't see the full picture of what's happening. When something goes wrong, the first, because of our material contamination over millions of years being in this world, we thinking, oh, why should I lose that, or, you know, I missed my plane, or, you know, why should this happen? and because we don't see the full picture, we become disturbed. But one who sees through the eyes of Scripture, he is never disturbed, because he sees that everything is arranged by the Supreme Lord for his protection and for his advancement in spiritual life. So I'll continue here. It says, this is a continuation of the same purport, 2718. Material possessions, however alluring they may be, cannot be permanent possessions. Therefore, one has to voluntarily give up such possessions, or one has to leave such possessions at the time of quitting this material body. The sane man knows that all material possessions are temporary, and that the best use of such possessions is to engage them in the service of the Lord, so that the Lord may be pleased with him and award him a permanent place in his Paramdham. Paramdham is the spiritual world. So all material opulences will be taken away. A lot of times it's taken away in this very lifetime. And because we have seen, there are many examples of people who have had a lot of money and lots of opulences. And the way material nature works is that anything could happen at any time. You could lose it, lose everything we have in a minute. Just see, you know, the situation in Haiti of all the people who had so many things in the homes, and says 1.5 million people are on the streets, they have nowhere to go. And 200,000 of them died. In just a few minutes, so many things could happen. So all these things that we have, if the idea is to engage them in the service of the Lord. And the path of surrender is described in this verse. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 5, it's a famous verse actually, it has a very nice rhythm to it. I really like to read it. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gave the process of surrender, which I'd like to share with you, because I was really attracted by it, having read it. But the verse is, Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvanvair vimukta sukha dukha sangair gachantiya mudha paramavyayamta. The translation is, those who are free from false prestige, illusion and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person and can attain to that eternal kingdom. And the purport says, the surrendering process is described here very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride, because the conditioned soul is puffed up, thinking himself the lord of material nature. It is very difficult for him to surrender unto the Supreme Lord. One should know by the cultivation of real knowledge that he is not Lord of material nature. Supreme Godhead is the Lord. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. I'll read that over. When one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. And it's going to explain it further. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. For one who is always expecting some honor in this material world, it is not possible to surrender to the Supreme Person. And now we'll find out what is pride and how does it come about. Pride is due to illusion, for although one comes here, stays for a brief time and then goes away, he has the foolish notion that he is the Lord of the world. He thus makes all things complicated and he is always in trouble. The whole world moves under this impression. People are considering the land, this earth, to belong to human society, and they have divided the land under the false impression that they are the proprietors. One has to get out of this false notion that human society is the proprietor of this world. When one is freed from such a false notion, he becomes free from all the false associations caused by familial, social, and national affections. So we see Bali Maharaj, in order for him to surrender everything like he did, he had to be a very great personality. He had to know all the Vedic literatures. He had to actually realize the knowledge that everything I have, it belongs to the Supreme Lord, even this body, everything that is there. And if I surrender it unto the Supreme Lord, then I'll get back so much more in return. That all this opulence and enjoyment and sense gratification that everyone is looking for is actually keeping them down, bound to the material world. Maya is very strong. Yesterday, Madan Mohan Prabhu told me something which I'd like to share with you. he said, Maya tells a living entity that, my dear living entity, that you are actually enjoying very nicely. Why don't you keep enjoying? And I have you all covered. Don't worry. I have you all covered, don't worry. And I think that was really nice. And, you know, Maya has us all covered. So one has to become free of that covering. It's only when one is free of that covering, then he can actually act like Bali Maharaj is doing. And and then there is that one verse by Jayadev Goswami, which describes the Vamandev's mercy on Bali Maharaj. Chalayasi vikramane bali madbhuta vamana paranakani rajanita janapavana keshavadrita vamana rupa jai jagadish hare jai jagadish hare Jai Jagadish Hare. All glories to Lord Keshava, who assumed the form of a dwarf. O Lord of the universe, who takes away everything inauspicious for the devotees, O wonderful Vaman, you tricked the great demon Bali Maharaj by your steps, the water that touched the nails of your lotus feet. When you pierced through the covering of the universe, purifies all living entities in the form of the river Ganges. And so Bali Maharaj, he has reached this very high level. And it is said there, when he was in Sutal, that Ravana came to fight with him. Ravana, actually in Ramayana, in conquering so many kings. So he went, he heard that Bali Maharaj was very powerful. So he went to Sutala to fight with Bali. And it is said that Lord Vamanadev, with his small feet, he kicked Ravana and sent him 80 miles. So Vamanadev was protecting him at every level. So I'll stop there and see if there's any questions or comments. We have a few more minutes. Gyanagamya, Prabhu.
It was a very nice class. Just practically, that's all I wanted to say. But when we deal with these issues of pride and false ego, it's like Madan Mohan was saying, we're completely covered by Maya. So it's really difficult to see, you know, who is in what position, whether I deserve respect or I should be offering respect. And it's always much safer to offer respect than it is to concern yourself with getting your proper respect.
Thank you. Madan Mohan Prabhu, let's hear the next one.
That was just a question, how you had said how Krishna always is there to protect the devotees. You know, you could see that ultimately, like you were quoting Prabhupada, Yesya Aham Anugrahami, that Krishna is always acting, he's always there to protect his devotees. So how is it that one can see that? That seems to be and where's the reference to how Krishna, well, Krishna said, Rakhe Krishna Morake. But in all circumstances, Krishna is always, so everything that's happening in our life, we should see that this is Krishna protecting us? Could you just talk about it?
Well, Srila Prabhupada recommend that we see through the eyes of Scripture. Because if we see through these eyes, which are contaminated, we may see the wrong thing. And, you know, many examples are there of how these senses are imperfect, how the body is impure. So when we see it through the eyes of Scripture, meaning we are seeing through the eyes of all the acharyas and all the saints and sadhus of the Bhagavatam. And so whatever example they set, whatever instructions they give, we take that. And the more we become purified actually by their association and our practice, the more we'd be able to see through the eyes of Scripture. The more we'd be able to be in contact with Chaitya Guru, the Lord in the heart. So to that extent that we are purified by the association of Chaitya Guru, by seeing through the eyes of Scripture, to that extent we'll actually be able to see.
Yeah, Prabhupada tells this story of how his spiritual master gave him the order to preach all over the world. And Prabhupada said he had the idea that he would be very successful in business and make a lot of money and then use that money for preaching. And he said, and some astrologer told him that, yes, you will be very rich like Birla. And Prabhupada said, so his business was starting and he got his own company, his pharmaceutical thing. And he said, but by Krishna's grace, the whole thing was dismantled. And he quotes that verse, Jasyaham Anagrinami, and one devotee laughed. It was in L.A. and out in the class, a devotee said, and it was all dismantled. And one devotee laughed and Prabhupada said, no, it is not laughing. When he takes it away, you become very morose. So he also mentioned that before. He said, this is a scary situation, people that surrender to Krishna. They think, I'll lose everything. His name is Hari, he takes everything. What will I do? But of course, the good thing is you're left with Krishna. And Prabhupada says, that's why, he says in Krishna book, that's why the worshippers of Lord Shiva, they get everything. And the demigod worshippers, they get everything. And the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, they're always bereft and poor. And Prabhupada says, that's because Krishna wants you to become fully dependent on him.
And when one, thank you. And when one is fully dependent on Krishna, because Krishna is also called Bhagwan, means he has all the opulences. Prabhupada said, a servant of a rich man is also entitled to all the richness of the father, of the owner, of his boss. So you see how Sudama Brahman, Sudama Vipra, he was so poor. But in such a short time, he just visited Krishna and he had so much opulence. And in one place, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that the opulences that the devotees receive is not because of their material possessions or the Lord's mercy towards them necessarily. It's their pure devotional service that is producing all these things that they get. Madan Mohan Prabhu, again.
You also, there was the point about how Krishna would lie down in his heart. He would capture Krishna. So I've noticed that actually that's what we're engaged in right here. This Srila Prabhupada has given us a situation by which we are all going to be able to capture Krishna in our heart. There's the second verse of the Bhagavatam, I think it's Avagruda. avarujite, which means that Krishna becomes established in the heart or captured in the heart by this cultivation of knowledge. And then, of course, when Lord Chaitanya was talking to Ramananda Roy, they mentioned this verse 10.14.3, ajita-jita, by this, for those who have dedicated their lives to these narrations, to these books given by the pure devotee, throwing out everything else, then Krishna, even though he's unconquerable, we see that he becomes conquered by this. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually capturing.
That's right. And I thought this would be interesting. This is from 5.24.18. It says, Bali Maharaj did not become poor by donating all his possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He became a successful devotee and got everything back again with the blessings of the Lord. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of the Krishna Consciousness Movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. I'll repeat that. I think it's important. Similarly, those who give contributions to expand the activities of the Krishna Consciousness Movement and to accomplish its objectives will never be losers. They will get their wealth back with the blessings of Lord Krishna. On the other side, those who collect contributions on behalf of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness should be very careful not to use even a farthing of the collection for any purpose other than the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Anything else? Okay, so we'll end there, right on time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Mm-hmm.